Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
And welcome to another edition of Inside Sources, except instead of having Boyd Matheson, you were joined this afternoon by Greg Skordis and Rusty Cannon. Rusty, you and I have worked on a couple of shows at KSL at night, but it's fun to be with you on a live daytime show.
Yeah, it's my first live show, and I've got all kinds of buttons in front of me. I either just turned on my mic or launched a missile, one of the two.
There you go.
So I've got all kinds of buttons that I don't think I'm supposed to touch, but I'm ready to go.
And just looking at the 50 degrees and rain outside, it's probably good to be inside the studio with you.
Good day for radio, yes.
You know, I've learned something working with you, and that is that you and I share this sort of geekiness about politics.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because this weekend are the state Republican and Democratic conventions. And I'm going to talk about the Republican one first because we have a guest that's going to help us. But I'm watching very, very closely three races. And they're all important. But these are the three that and they're sort of open races. The Senate position, Mitt Romney's open seat.
Yeah, that's a big one.
House District 2. I know Celeste Malloy is there now, but She just barely got there. Yeah, I mean, she's been there for like 5 months. I think some people are looking at that almost like an open seat. John Curtis opened his seat by running for Senate, so House District 3, and of course the Attorney General's race. Yeah. Those are the four that I'm watching closely tomorrow just to see what happens. And you and I are going to break some of those down a little bit later in the second segment. But for the first segment, we are lucky to be joined this afternoon by Brigham Tomko, staff writer for the Deseret News, who covers politics, who's going to be at the convention tomorrow. Brigham, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're kind of always with us and always available, and I really appreciate that. So talk to us about the Senate race. I mean, there's been some controversy there. It's an open seat. It's Mitt Romney's seat. I think a lot of people thought that John Curtis jumping in would sort of seal the deal. But I think Brad Wilson jumped in very quickly.
Oh, Brad was in very early. Yeah.
And he was there. But it's even opened up a little bit past that. Tell us where that sits tomorrow.
Sure. So there are 10 Republican candidates vying for this seat. Maybe half of those feel like they have a more serious shot at emerging from the convention or qualifying for the primary ballot via signature gathering. And some of them are already guaranteed to be on that primary ballot in June, like Representative John Curtis, Brad Wilson, who was the House Speaker in Utah, and Trent Staggs, the mayor of Riverton.
Or Jason Walton. Jason Walton's the other one with the signatures.
Yeah, sorry.
In the Senate race, yeah.
You're right. Jason Walton was the other one with the certified signatures. And so stepping back, I think, and looking at this race, you see people trying to differentiate themselves as the most Mike Lee-esque candidate. None of them are trying to run as a Mitt Romney 2.0, and I don't know what that says about the direction of the party or the state convention, but they're all trying to frame themselves as the most loyal to the Constitution, the most loyal to cutting spending and these kinds of talking points.
So speaking of Mike Lee, has he endorsed a particular candidate in this race? And maybe I should ask you that also, Rusty. Do you know Brigham, if he has?
He has not.
No, I believe he's been silent on this race, as far as I know.
Yeah, and maybe for good reason. So break it down. Like I said earlier, I think we all thought John Curtis was in the driver's seat, but it's become a little bit closer race, at least it appears to be.
Yeah, there's been scant polling on this. The Deseret News polled the Senate race a few months ago. A private organization called Noble Predictive Insights released a poll yesterday, and the big takeaway is that nearly half of Utah Republican primary voters are undecided. And so although John Curtis held a sizable lead in both of those polls, most people don't know who they're voting for yet. And so John Curtis has more name ID. He has more fundraising momentum in this first quarter. He has more connections maybe within the Utah political community, certainly at the federal level, but it's up in the air who's going to emerge from the convention.
So another interesting thing about tomorrow is you'll have some that tomorrow is really could be the end of the road, right? So you mentioned the signature gathering candidates, Jason Walton, John Curtis, and Brad Wilson in the Senate race, but here's an interesting wrinkle, Brent Hatch. And I was excited that you just, in your article, had him listed as Brent Hatch, because every single ad that I hear reminds everybody what his middle name is, right? And so it's kind of, I'm glad. You get credit in my book for doing that. I just haven't his first name. But he's only turned in 21,035 signatures right now. So as long as you turn them in before the deadline, which my understanding is they were turned in.
And you need 28,000.
But you need 28,000. Right. So it's my understanding they're still counting for him. And so if he gets the 28,000 at some point, no matter how he does on tomorrow, he could have a shot. But other than that, these other folks have to get 40% to get out of there.
Well, a quick correction there. The signature gathering path has now closed for Brent Hatch. He originally submitted over 41,000 signatures by the deadline 2 weeks ago. But yesterday, the lieutenant governor's office said that he does not have enough certified signatures to qualify for the primary ballot via that pathway. And so his hopes are completely in the hands of state delegates tomorrow.
All right. Well,
Rusty,
that's an interesting wrinkle.
You had a little... You've got some different information about that, I thought.
Yeah. My understanding was that, no, the lieutenant governor's office would be the ultimate arbiter of this, but that if they were turned in before the deadline, they can continue to count, and then if at some point you get that 28,000, you can get on the primary ballot. But
well, the problem with Brent Hatch's signatures is that lots of them did not meet snuff. They did not qualify and so could not certify. So despite turning in, like I said, over 40,000 signatures, he wasn't able to get the 28,000.
That's a pretty
mark.
High error rate. That's surprising.
There was lots of talk, lots of rumors swirling around that it got towards the end of that period when they could gather signatures, and they started dumping money into signature gathering firms that are quick but not as effective.
Well, so an interesting fact. So, Greg, if you sign for me as a candidate a signature and I turn it in first, you're done. But then if you forget and go sign someone else's, and oh, yeah, I like you, I'll sign yours too, and then they turn yours in, it gets rejected because it's only one signature per voter per candidate, right? So you get to the end of the cycle and the pool gets pretty thin, right?
Yeah, I've been told a rule of thumb is that for every candidate that has already submitted the signatures ahead of you, you'll probably lose another 7% of the signatures that you turn in.
Wow.
And in addition to those factors you mentioned before, that they have to be registered Republicans, right?
Yes, you're right. That's a big test as well.
And with respect to Hatch, I guess what we're hearing is half of his signatures are invalidated.
Well,
if you say he turned
000,
in 40-some thousand, he's got 21. I mean, that seems like a lot of – that's a high error rate.
And the calculation they may have made is – maybe they didn't finish counting all of the signatures, but they knew that even if they did count all the rest of the signatures, and even if they were all certified, he still wouldn't have met that bar of 28,000. And so they probably stopped before they needed to go through every single one because they knew there was no way he could make it at that point.
So, plan to be at the convention all day tomorrow?
I'll be at the convention all day tomorrow covering these statewide and congressional races.
So are you packing a lunch? You're going to need a lunch, several bottles of water, maybe some snacks. Having been through these, you're going to want to – and comfortable shoes. You need comfortable shoes. Have you got all that ready to go?
I have it ready to go.
Okay. Good.
Hopefully it's an exciting thing and I won't leave people dozing off. And
well, the interesting fact as well is some of those other candidates that don't have signatures, they have got to hit 40% or they're done tomorrow, right? So that would be Trent Staggs, Carolyn Phippen. And there are some others that I'm not recalling there, but some active campaigns that could end tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll certainly narrow down the field, but we're still likely to have 5 to 6 candidates in the primary ballot.
Wow. Well, Brigham, thanks for joining us this afternoon, and we'll be looking forward to your reporting on it. It's probably in Sunday's paper.
Thank you very much.
And when we come back after the break, Rusty, I want to continue this conversation and talk about the other races that I mentioned at the top of the show. Stay with us.
Get deeper insights on the news from Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources. I'm your host this afternoon, Greg Skordis, alongside Rusty Cannon. We're talking, Rusty, about the Republican convention tomorrow. We may talk about the Democrats a little bit, too. But we had Brigham Tomko for the first segment, and I was interested in the four open races. We talked about the Senate race, but I want to ask you a little bit about the other races that go down ballot.
Yeah.
And first of all, I didn't understand, and I think a lot of our listeners may not understand the whole signature gathering process. It's controversial. It's caused some problems, but it does allow a person, and it looks like each race has its own number of signatures you have to get, which is based apparently on some percentage of the people in your district. But if you get through the if you get enough signatures, you're on the ballot for the primary.
For the primary, yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you've got to get what?
You need to get 40% to come out of convention.
Okay.
Right? So if you gather signatures and you meet the threshold, so for instance, in a congressional race, it's 7,000 signatures for any of those seats. And if you get that before the deadline, which is roughly 2 weeks before the convention, you're on the primary ballot. It says right there on the website. But if not, you need to get at least 40% to come out of convention to get into the primary. And so there's both dynamics. And this was an outgrowth of a long battle. I think it's about a decade ago where the settlement, I would call it, was, okay, well, we'll have two paths. And you can go the convention route or gather the signatures. The alternative at the time, as far as memory, and I'm sure I might get this wrong, was that the convention system could have gone away. And this was a way to preserve both, or at least you have the alternative right. And still keep the old. And so that's where we are now. So it's been about 10 years, I think.
Okay, so let's talk about House District 2. This is the seat currently held by Celeste Malloy.
Yep.
We know that it was Chris Stewart's seat. He mm-hmm. he resigned a little bit early. There was almost like a special election November of last year. Mm-hmm. She was in that seat. So we would have thought she's in that seat now. She's been pretty active. We've seen her a lot. Mm-hmm. To me, I would have thought, That's an incumbent's position. Republicans step aside. But there have been a number of people jumping in opposing her in this race. And I think she's in for a little bit of a fight tomorrow.
So tomorrow is going to be a big day for Congressional District 2. You have several candidates on the Republican side, obviously, including Celeste Malloy. There's also Ty Jensen and Colby Jenkins. And I might be leaving. No, I think that was it on the list there as far as the Republican side.
And none of them have done the signature process.
Yeah. So the tomorrow matters. And so you need to come out of there with that 40%. It's been a pretty active campaign between all of them. And yesterday it was shaken up a little bit. You had an endorsement.
Surprise endorsement to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It surprised a lot of people. Mike Lee endorsing Colby Jenkins. And Celeste Malloy will battle it out with him and the others in the race tomorrow. So it will be a very, very interesting day.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Republicans, and let's say that there are three. We have Celeste Malloy, we have Colby Jenkins, and we have Ty Jensen.
Yeah.
So they'll go through a round of ballots, and they'll eliminate a person at each round. Theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically.
That's why
you
get the 40%, because if one person gets 60%, that means over. Nobody got 40.
Yeah.
Then it's over. That person's on the ballot.
Yeah, then they're the party nominee on the primary ballot at that point.
So let's say that one person's eliminated in the first round, the other two go, and they're both, 45 versus 55%. Mm-hmm. They're both on the Republican primary ballot.
Primary. Yep. Yeah. Okay. If you get 40.0 whatever fraction you want to use, 0.001, you're in. If you have 39.9999, what have you, depending on the percentage, you're out.
Okay, and I don't know if you can break this down for us too, Rusty, but what do you suppose was behind Mike Lee's endorsement of her opponent, given that he has to have been working with her fairly closely? I mean, the Utah delegation, mm-hmm. Senate and House, they apparently have breakfast once a week, and they talk and they meet. And
yeah.
And I think he was a big supporter of hers back in November.
You know, that's an open question. I don't want to speak out of turn. I would assume, I mean, there are votes that have happened since Representative Malloy has been in Congress that have been, not controversial just on one congresswoman's part, but on all of Congress. The NDAA authorization, the FISA vote, there was a budget vote, appropriations essentially. And those were pretty heated, all of them. And depending on where you come down on those, can rub some people the wrong way or vice versa. Perhaps that's part of it. But I'm sure a lot of people will be wanting to talk to the senator tomorrow at the convention.
Yeah. Okay. And let's talk about House District 3. This is the one that's vacated by John Curtis's running for Senate. So it's an open seat.
Yep.
I see four names, maybe five.
Oh, there's a lot of people. I think it's up to 10.
I see four names that have got the signatures.
Correct.
That are moving on.
Yeah, moving on, J.R. Byrd, Case Lawrence, Stuart Pay, and John Frugal-Dougal, even have his middle name listed on the website there. They've all gotten over 7,000 signatures verified, and they are all listed as qualified for the primary. So no matter what happens tomorrow, there will be at least four people on the third congressional district ballot in June.
And the only way there would be a fifth name is if someone else gets at least 40% and
yes,
and the final ballot.
Tomorrow. Correct.
So people will correct. Be eliminated. There'll be final two. There may be there could be as many as two more people on the ballot besides yeah. these four. Unlikely. You would assume that one of these four, maybe two of them will end up on there.
Yeah.
Any names on there that strike you as particularly interesting? I mean, Dougal, he's currently our
state auditor. Yeah, he's been yeah. state auditor for, I think it's been well over a decade. He's
and
been,
seems to enjoy that position.
Oh, he's been, I think
that's
one
why
of,
he
one
uses the
yeah.
the middle name Frugal yeah. because he's the auditor.
Yeah, I think that was a campaign slogan that came around when he first ran a long time ago. I remember I was there when he was running and that middle name stuck. And then, you know, J.R. Byrd, we interviewed him on the night show the other night.
He's the mayor of Roosevelt?
Mayor of Roosevelt, yep, yep.
Out in the basement. Very impressive.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed him.
I think all delegates would agree.
Frugal,
these
I've
are
listened
all great
to speak
candidates.
Before. He's a wonderful.
Yeah.
I love the guy.
Yeah. And Case Lawrence, a business owner. He's I see him a lot on billboards, things like that. And Stuart Pay. They're all, I think, I'm not a state delegate. So my day might be a little shorter tomorrow for
yeah.
a lot of people, but these are all good candidates.
Yeah.
And I could see a virtual tie across the board just from judging all of these. But I don't know. It'll be an interesting horse race to watch. With
yeah,
all that.
And there are a couple of others we should mention that mm-hmm. didn't go the signature process. And I'm looking at the Republicans in House District 3 that didn't get enough signatures or didn't try, I guess. Mm-hmm. Catherine Dallin, Lucky Bovo and Clayton Hunsaker, also Republicans running for that seat. So we really have seven candidates tomorrow. If
well,
I
you also have
right.
Senator Mike Kennedy. So State Senator Mike Kennedy, he's running for
oh,
House
I'm looking
District
at
3.
The signature.
Yeah,
votes.
And
right.
so he's not up right now for his state Senate seat, and he's running here. He has, if I remember correctly, ran against Romney the first time around, if I remember right. But he is very popular with delegates. I mean, there are a lot of names in here that could make this a very interesting day.
Yeah, and a long day. If you
yes.
start with eight
it
and you've got to get down to two. And
yeah, I don't know how long
through.
They each get to speak, but I don't know, call it 4 minutes. I don't know what the time limit will be, but you start doing the multiples. Now, the good news is that the voting will be electronic and it should go pretty fast and help with that. And let's just all pray that there isn't an effort to go away from that because it will turn that into a Monday morning meeting.
Okay, and I didn't time this very well, Rusty, because I wanted to talk about three races, and I thought I have 5 minutes for each one, but I really don't. But so can you give us 30 seconds on the AG race?
Yeah, AG race. Derek Brown. He's gathered enough signatures to where he will be on the primary ballot. I believe he's the only one. So anyone else that wants to be on the Republican side, at least, Rachel Terry, Trent Christensen, and a Frank Mylar. Any of them would need 40 to get onto that primary ballot, or it'll just be Derek.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be an interesting show, and you're going to be there. I forget what your role is.
Yeah, they have special elections in the morning for some of the legislative districts that are smaller, that cross county lines, and so we'll be running those between 8 and 10 a.m. I have to help with one of those. But they'll wrap up by 10, and then everybody gets to the big meeting at 10:30. So.
All right. Well, interesting. I'm going to love reading the paper Sunday morning and going to the Deseret News and finding out what happened. Brigham Tomko, who was with us earlier, is going to be covering that, and then you're going to be covering that as well. So, yeah, let's watch these conventions tomorrow and support those. If you're a delegate, go there and listen and tell us how it goes. Democrats are having theirs at the same time at Cottonwood High School, my alma mater.
That's right.
When we come back, we'll talk about some local stories of interest.